musicians play gently in the background. I'm sure you have been caught, perhaps, or some of us at least, quite surprised by the lyrics of this song. We are more familiar with that Christmas carol, "Come All Ye Faithful." And here we are singing the invitation of God to each one of us. Come, we who really had been unfaithful. And oftentimes when we think of coming before God, we think of coming to Him to appease Him, not just of the Christian faith, but of many other beliefs. Some kind of restitution that we want to make towards God. We bring our sacrifices, we bring our offerings, we bring our gifts, as if God needs any of these things. And yet, if we have sung this hymn really carefully a while ago, it is the other way around. We come not to bring an offering to God. We come to receive His offering to us in His Son Jesus, the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sin of the world. That's our Christian gospel. That's what makes us different as a people of faith. That's what we strive for, in the way that having known Jesus truly, sincerely, genuinely, in a personal way, there must be that sincere response of worship, of thanksgiving, of awe. Who is this God that operates so differently from the way as we understand the faiths, the philosophies of the world, where their gods are concerned, are just so contrary, absolute opposite to this God who has now revealed Himself to us through His Son, who was made flesh, who dwelt among us, whose name is called Emmanuel. God is with us. Take a few moments with you as you reflect on these thoughts. And then we ask ourselves this question: what am I really here for? To celebrate Christmas? To have a joyous time of merrymaking? Not that we cannot do that, but we must truly understand why we can do that. And not just in flimsical ways, in ways that satisfy our flesh, our desires, our lusts, but in only the one way that is acceptable to God, when we worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's Christmas. That's Jesus. Lord, we are truly thankful as we stand before You, not just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as an expression of reverence and humility, but truly with our hearts bowed in Your presence, wholly surrendered to You, convicted by Your Spirit, strengthened, taught in Your Word, that we know what the true spirit of Christmas is really all about. So we are more than just a gathering of people who come to make merry. We come truly to worship and give our praise, our thanksgiving, our indebtedness to the one and only true God who sits on the throne, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who reigns forevermore. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, that through Jesus, as we have received Him as our personal Savior and wholly surrendered of our lives to Him, He has given us the authority to be called children of God. that when we come before you and offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and whatever that we do to your glory, O Lord, you accept. You accept because Jesus has made it all acceptable. So this morning, Lord, as we pause for this day and this hour of worship, not just to celebrate Christmas as another commercial worldly activity, but gathered here this morning to truly honor you, to be refreshed in your presence, to be taught and be convicted by your word, and to be sensitive and submissive to your Holy Spirit, who will lead and guide us, that we find the true meaning and fulfillment of life in our earthly journey. Not just the pursuits of our own desires and personal agendas, much less as you warn us, Lord, what shall it profit a person if he gains the whole world in all of his life of seeking and searching, but loses his soul? Lord, may this convict us. And being so convicted, through us, O Lord, the people in our lives, our loved ones, family members, and others, O Lord, that you had deliberately put as among the circle of our friends and contacts, are we also sharing the gospel of Jesus, the true message of Christmas and of salvation in no other name except the name of Jesus? Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us, the unfaithful ones. But so thankful that you are faithful. And that though, as your word says, we may be faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. The unchanging God, boundless in love and grace, and led upright in righteousness and justice. And for this, Lord, we truly bow our hearts before you and worship you. Thank you. Let this service be truly one that brings honor, glory to your name, and great conviction, hope, and blessings upon each one of us and through us to touch the lives of many more others, and all unto the glory of your name. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's unfaithful people say, amen. 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 God bless you. Please be seated. Wow. I don't know about you, but my phone is on silent mode, but I keep receiving vibrations. It's always during the festive season, usually Christmas and Chinese New Year, yeah? And they just come one after another. I hope they understand that I will not be able to respond to any until probably later in the evening. It happens every year. But I think this is something that we want to be sensitive about. Our greetings to one another, the merrymaking that we have, the lights that we see in the great streets that we boast about, Orchard Road, and all the other glitter and seemingly glamour that is about Christmas. Was that true? Was that true in the first Christmas? It was nothing like that. Because Jesus was born without a place but to be found in a manger. And yet, when God intervenes, you hear the real message of Christmas. I want to read two passages this morning from Matthew. And these are the two gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, out of the four of them. Mark and John did not mention much or even nothing at all about the birth of Jesus. But when you read these two passages, and they will flash for us in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, and then later when we read from Luke, I think you have a very comprehensive narrative of what the birth of Jesus is all about, and how it should really, really impact and challenge us. So let's read this passage together. I think you all were aware that we were supposed to have Chinese combined service. Pastor Gan Hok contacted me last night and said he has got telepathic powers. Hey, laugh lah. He can do this and it's all well and good. We are all one family. Amen? Okay, let's look at this passage on the narrative of the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew 1 and reading from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was already found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly, save her the embarrassment and, you know, so-called a cover-up, if you like. But while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And the next two verses I will not read, but gospel writer mentions to us that it was a fulfillment of the prophecy through Isaiah. So you have this first account of how Jesus was born. Mostly the earthly perspective of what was the background in the family life, so to speak, between Joseph and Mary. Now we look at Luke chapter 2. And this is really another familiar passage. Luke chapter 2, reading from verses 8 to 14. And what we read is a different narrative. A narrative that happened out in the fields, in a very common place, to very common people, shepherds in the field. And it says for us here, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 onwards, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now I feel that sometimes you get too familiar with scripture. Let's be honest about it. Passages like this that we often will hear during Christmas time. And say, oh, I know that story already. At Sunday school, I was taught from young. Pastor, you are still selling the old same thing, is it? But I think there is also a reason why we celebrate Christmas just once a year, so that it does not become too overly familiar to all of us. That we celebrate Christmas as an expression and a testimony for what Christmas is all about. As a commercial city, a lively metropolis hub, Singapore, every year, you know, Orchard Road is brightly lit up. Some of us have had, I'm sure, maybe your Christmas Eve celebrations already. And pre-Christmas celebrations might be even as early as a week ago or so. Some countries say whenever the month is December, 1st December onwards, they start celebrating Christmas. I remember when I was on a mission trip, first time in Philippines, they say, no, not just December. Whenever the month ends with the word, phrase "ber." So when's that? September, October, November, December, we celebrate Christmas already. At least that's what my Filipino friends told me, you know. But we go actually better than that. We celebrate Christmas every day. Amen? We celebrate Christmas every day if and only if we know that it's not just a time of merrymaking, having parties, having a wonderful time. But like I said earlier, nothing wrong with merrymaking. Nothing wrong with celebrating. Of course, there are churches, and I say, we don't celebrate Christmas. Christmas is a pagan practice. They never celebrated Christmas in the past. I actually Googled and tried to find out why Christmas was or was not celebrated. I won't say that it's absolutely true. Now I tell you, internet is very dangerous, right? You never know what put up is really truth. May not be. But at least I thought of one where I came across. And if I remember correctly, they gave a few reasons why Christmas was not really celebrated. Because apparently in the Jewish custom and family, the birth of a child is not so much the day for celebration. But secondly, the coming of Jesus is what they celebrate more. The early church. Now the end is at hand. In the last days. You know, when the Bible, in the writings of Paul and Peter in particular, when they talk about the last days, they are not referring to 2,000 years later. They are referring to their days of their time. They were even believing that they were living in the last days. And that's what they were anticipating, looking forward to the coming of Jesus again. So that's the second reason that they gave. Don't celebrate Christmas because not so much their custom to celebrate the birth of a child. Secondly, they were more looking forward to the coming of Jesus. But thirdly, and I thought that was really a good reason if it's true, they celebrate their birth in Christ. They actually celebrate how they had become Christians by receiving Jesus. Like I said, it's just a thought that I came across. I can't absolutely, because I think we, at least I don't not have at the moment, all the knowledge historically of what happened. But I thought these three thoughts are helpful for us to consider. Why do we celebrate? Why do we celebrate birthdays? We remember the Creator God, the life giver. We remember His faithfulness, whether it is for a shorter period of time or a longer period of time, whether they be significant milestones in a person's life, 70 years old, 80 years old, 21 years old, that kind of thing. But it's not really the length of time that is important. It is the will of God and the time on earth that God has for the person to live. And in Christ, for those who no longer are with us, we know they are up there rejoicing, praising God, celebrating. That's what we really want to aim for. There's celebration up there. And they are waiting for us. And Christ is waiting again to receive us. Now, I've deliberately chosen these two passages, and these are not new passages that I preach on today. I've done so many times. I check my diary, my historical messages that I spoke, especially on Christmas times, and I know I've done that separately. But today, I just want to combine these two narratives that you have read, and I'm sure you can remember the details quite well. And why is it important? And how is it relevant to us? So let me make it very clear. Merrymaking is not the issue here. Having a good time, looking forward, or may I have already behind you yesterday, Christmas Eve, looking forward to Christmas lunch, maybe for some of you, a Christmas dinner, celebration, or whatever. Absolutely fine. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is the basis of our merrymaking? For the world, in the business context, in commercial terms, it's about making more money, having the cash registers ringing and ringing. At least that used to be the old illustration. Now it's what? Pay now, pay la, pay by whatever way. Right? Who takes cash anymore? No more. But today, how would we be challenged and be convicted by the word of God. That when we make merry of this day and of this season, not just by singing carols, not just by singing Jesus is the reason for the season, not just by saying Christmas is the time to love. I'm just saying some of these titles that I'm sure you're familiar with. But what make it all possible for us truly to be merrymaking and know that it's not just indulgences in the flesh, not just having a good time. Of course, we look forward to good times of celebrations. Nothing wrong with that. But if the celebration, the occasion, has not a basis for why we celebrate, then it's nothing. It's just another occasion. It passes by. Next year, come again. Start all over again. The first thing we have noted is really that Jesus was born in a miraculous way. Born out of wedlock. Joseph, being a decent man, wanted to put the wife away, not to embarrass her, annul the marriage. In a dream, the angel said to him, don't do that. This is not your plan. This is not your call. God has a purpose. And then gave on the passage that tells us that it's all fulfillment of Scripture. Isaiah 7 in verse 4. Jesus will be born, his name called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So that is what we understand as Jesus for who he is. But when we come to the passage in Luke chapter 2, the one that is now out in the field, out in the open. Matthew chapter 1 is very private, isn't it? An incident that happened just within the family, a dream that came personally to Joseph, and he was given to understand. It's all very private. Emmanuel has to be very private. You need to know Emmanuel as your God who is with you. Amen? But then out in the open, in the fields, common custom. They were just going about their everyday life. I remember when I last preached this was in 2020. And we were talking about how it was a very common crowd of people that the announcement came. The coming of Jesus was not announced by some government gazette or government notice. It was not by some king's decree and whatever announcement that is public and that's official. In the open fields, commonplace, shepherds, common people like you and me. And yet God chose to reveal the birth of Jesus in the context. It was not revealed in the palace. There was no grand occasion. Official installation of the Prime Minister. Wow, Istana, very grand. Official celebration of your graduation and all that, very grand. This one, you're just going about doing your same old routine and suddenly in the heavens. And yet, what happened after that? The announcement by the angel that captures for us the very gist of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just read it to you. Verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, who? A Savior. Not somebody who comes to save out of economic problems, meet other needs that you and I have, but a Savior who comes for our sin. And he's here to take care of that. And he's Christ the Lord. And you will see that sign where he's as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But verse 13 and 14, very powerfully, with that proclamation of who was born and who he is, the Savior of the world. It says in verse 13, suddenly, together with the angel now, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Can you imagine that? like we are sitting here, and here we are listening to a sermon. Earlier we were worshiping. By God's grace, later we continue to worship. Suddenly out there we saw that, hey, the windows are open and something happened out there. A glorious multitude of heavenly hosts. And what did they come out? And what were they saying? They were declaring praise to God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Two sentences, and it touches, as it were, the two dimensions, the gap between the two dimensions. Glory to God in the highest. You know what it speaks of? It speaks of God's majesty. Glory to God in the highest. What about on earth? On earth, goodwill to all men. One is glory, one is goodwill. One is majesty. You know what's the other one? Mercy. Mercy of God. That on earth, there is now goodwill. We live in a troubled world. We live in a darkened world. We live in a world that had fallen into sin. The world is not getting any better. No matter how clever we are, how advanced our technologies may become, how knowledgeable we'll have in due course, and what solutions we think we might have for the problems. No. But for the good will of God upon our lives, we unfaithful ones deserve nothing. We deserve nothing, really. And that's why, while declaring glory to God in the highest, declaring the majesty of God, the angel also proclaimed the goodwill of God to men, and on earth, peace and goodwill. And all purely, not by our merit, not by our works of righteousness, but through His mercy and His mercy alone. But how are these two connected? High up there, God in His glory. Down below here on earth, man receiving His goodwill. How are these two God connected? The birth of Jesus, Emmanuel. God is with us. That's another way for you to present the gospel. That's another way for us to have a message for the world. I've been always telling you for years now, why should anyone listen to our Christian message, our gospel, our testimony, our salvation? Because we have a superior faith in terms of helping them to become good. All faiths, all teachings teach people to be good. You don't teach people to be good, you're not going to have anybody following you, right? But it's not just about being good. Oh, we have better still. We are inspirational people, motivational people. How to have better life? How to be successful? How to make friends and win people over? You know, these are titles that some of you are familiar with. And we think life is all about, what can I get out of this life? What can this life offer me? Nothing. Because Jesus says, what shall I profit a man? He gains the whole world. You get everything, but loses a soul. How sad. So on the one hand, our eyes and our hearts must be clearly fixed on who is above. God, to whom belongs all glory, He who is in the highest place. A God before whom nothing is hidden. The Word of God is powerful. It reveals our hearts and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But the Bible also says, come to Him boldly before His throne of grace. All these are found in the book of Hebrews. That we might find mercy, grace, and help in time of need. Why? Because Jesus, the high priest, who sails as silver through the clouds, He knows. He was tempted in every way like us, and yet without sin. And He's able to help us. And coming to Him means we come with all openness. In any case, we cannot do any other. You think you can hide? The Bible says, before whom nothing, unto whom and before whom nothing is hidden, but all is revealed. You know, when God wants us to know what is inside us. It's never to embarrass us. It's not even to condemn us, but to tell us, come, my child. Jesus has made the way possible, paid the price for our sins, and opened the way of salvation. You know, generally speaking, people sometimes are very afraid to talk to people of faith. Hey, what you want to talk to me? They not ask. And I'm telling you from experience, and I assure people, don't be afraid. If it is truly a man or woman of God, and I'll use both, he is not an instrument to declare how superior he is, how much he knows, word of knowledge, and all kinds of other spiritual gifts, and then he speak his authority over you. Never. Bible does not condemn to begin with. Bible only convicts. And if a person comes to you and speak things that your spirit, your heart does not agree, I say reject it. I remember years back, there were people come to me, hey, Pastor, I went for prayer, you know, and then this preacher said, blah, 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 blah. I said, why don't you just ask the preacher direct? He said, can. I said, can, why cannot? Preacher also human beings, what, right? Another occasion, I remember this preacher, and I was actually quite near him in the platform, goes around praying for people, pray for, word for everyone. Suddenly comes to this, I better put on an empty chair so it doesn't affect anybody. Hey, God never said anything. Walk on. Wow, so businesslike. You know, it startled me, you know. But I've seen enough in ministry. And I'm concerned enough to say, sincerity of heart, genuineness of faith, ultimately, is our anchor. Not our emotions, not our feelings. So here we have, on the one hand, glory to God in the highest. On the other hand, on earth, peace and goodwill to men. And all because Jesus has bridged the gap. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me. Bible says there's no other name given under heaven or on earth whereby men shall be saved but the name of Jesus. Oh, but please, don't use this as some arrogance, dogmatic, superior way of pouncing on people. Say it with grace. Say it with thanksgiving. Say it with a conviction that you know yourself, but for His grace, I go. Really. And I tell you, this Christmas, when you have a merrymaking time, and on other occasions, when you meet people that God brings into contact, hello, thank you. Oh, give a clap. The Savior in a physical form. But I was going to conclude anyway. You know, Pastor Gan Hong, there's also another reason why you contacted me and said, you know, there's no need for the translation. Because I changed my message completely. And it really happened just last night. Really. I mean, don't get me wrong, the passages were still the same passage, but not the Luke one, and then there were other passages I given him. At least Pastor Connor can be my witness, huh? Pastor Ucho Kang Ele. Do homework one, oh, Pastor. It's all inside, okay? No wonder he look at me, Pastor, you want to play me out, huh? You give me all this, and they say, got slides or not? I say, I'm inclined not to using slides for a while. slides have been good. I know it was like when I preached without PowerPoint. And talking about PowerPoint, I remember a missionary conference and all the presenters came up, PowerPoint, slick on it all. Then finally, this guy from the rural place, and he came up and said, I don't have PowerPoint, but I can point to you the power. Wow, I tell for me that. But I went through that season without slides, then with slides, and now I want to just flow more with the Spirit. And this morning I pray that we do sense how much God so loved us. That to Joseph, who might have jeopardized, but not possible, his whole plan by putting his wife away. For the shepherds who are inconsequential people, it's just like your people who work down in the streets and all that. I thought some big announcement must come from the palace, Istana, or the PM's office, right? Just out in the open for anyone and everyone who would care to hear. And for anyone and everyone who, like the shepherds, would give praise and glory to God. His majesty and His mercy. That's the message of what Christmas is all about. Because that majesty must ultimately be connected to His mercy. And is connected by the man Jesus, the Messiah. Can you remember sermon or 3 points? Three M's. Majesty, mercy, and the Messiah is in between. Church, I'm fully persuaded, and I'll close with this. Because this is Christmas. Come Sunday, we are doing a year-end service, and then we are moving on to the new year. We have moved out of a very comfortable place for the last almost 30 years. But I'm more and more persuaded over the last 6 months especially, and I think there's relevance to our message here today. For where we are now, and today seeing this crowd, except for those that I know are overseas either for work or on holidays, and that's okay. And others who are not well. Elder Raja is still not well. Please pray for him. Elder Bansing is speaking in another church this morning. My former church, our former church, Salem, actually. We leave no one behind. We try to. We honestly try to. We may not always do the right things. Or rather, we may always do the right things, but do it the wrong way. I think that sounds better. 不要做人啦, huh? 做是对啦, but 做啥啦? Huh? Sorry, it means doing the right thing sometimes in the wrong ways and therefore rub on people. But church, we are living in very exciting times. I honestly tell you exciting times. Why? Because it's not the physicals that will show us what's so exciting. It's the spiritual. It's the things that we're going through as a church. We are seeing in our families and grappling with in our personal lives. I am going through that, I know. And I trust Jesus, our Messiah, the Son of the living God. If He is for us, who can be against us? Through Christ, we more than victoriously conquer. Greater is He in us than he who is of the world. Satan can seem so very, very fearsome, formidable. He's still a defeated foe. Each time when I feel that he's getting the upper hand, I just go back to the basics. I say, Satan, devil, you father of lies, you accuser of the brethren, you are a false being, clothed as angels' light, wolves in sheep's clothing. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And that's it. Don't waste time with him, because God has things for us to do. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's stand together, and maybe we can take that last song just a while ago before I took over the mic. Come, all ye unfaithful. You know, I always check with the worship leader and give them full liberty to choose the songs. What they might know is perhaps the title and the text that I'm preaching from. And he says the last one is Holy Night, and the next one, come. I said, come, all ye faithful. He said, no. Shana says, no, come, all ye unfaithful. I said, I know that one also. Please, let's sing this song meditatively. That means don't just through your mouth, but in your minds also. Consider the words. Consider how they describe us. But consider the faithful God who never fails us. Amen? Let's sing this song together. Was not born so that there is another holiday added to our secular calendar. He's born for you and for me. As the Bible has declared, as we have just read. And the purpose is one and only. He's a Savior who will save us from our sins. But he has not done this work in a remote way. He came in the flesh, took the form of man, learned obedience, tempted in all ways like us, and yet without sin. And he learned obedience all the way to the cross. And now, because of the grace of God, that goodwill is now extended to us as by faith through that same grace and mercy, we receive Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. That's all we really need in this world. That's what really counts at the end of the world. But we are constantly surrounded by peers and pressures and pleasures in the world. And they are always drawing us, distracting us to the false glory and glitter and glamour. Or else we are burdened by our problems and our difficulties, trials and testings, and for some, persecutions and even death. And that can discourage us. But let's check our lives. It's so clear what God has revealed. It's so direct, we cannot miss it. But distractions on one hand and discouragement on the other can easily derail us. Don't let the world deceive us. The Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the love of the Father is not with him. But all that is in this world will pass away. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. Satan is a deceiver. He's the father of lies. Satan also is like a roaring lion, prowling, waiting to devour whoever that opens up a gateway and opening for him. But we stand on Jesus and Jesus alone. The Bible says, thanks be to God who always leads us in victory in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors of this world, not because we have conquered, but Jesus has already conquered sin and death. And by his resurrection power and the promise of his soon return, we know we are in the safe, correct, and secure track as we continue to walk and journey through this earthly pilgrimage, offering our lives to God afresh each time when we know that he calls for a refreshing and renewal of our lives and surrendering ourselves to him. And we're not alone. We thank God for brothers and sisters. We gather, we fellowship, not just only to have a good time, makan session and what have you. Nothing wrong with that. But we also come to provoke, is actually the word. Spur, provoke one another unto love and to good works. And to know, like the Bible says, be steadfast, immovable, always abiding in the works of the Lord, because nothing done for Christ's sake is ever in vain. Everything else will pass away outside of him. Lord, thank you. Let this truly be our prayer this morning and on this significant day. Whether we are celebrating the actual day of Christmas when Christ was born, it's not as important as why we are doing this and doing it today. So receive us, O Lord, we pray, as we commit our lives afresh to you. And in your grace, mercy, and perfect guidance, loving watchfulness over our lives, and even as we pray for our loved ones and people that you laid upon our hearts, we just surrender all unto Jesus. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's faithful people say, amen. Amen. Now it's faithful people, okay? Sit down. Before I hand over to Ansley, I just want to welcome Jack Wright. I have not seen you, huh? Is it? You see, I remember you because back in Yishun, you always supply us with your wonderful prawn noodle, right? And many other things. When I saw you coming, I was so glad you could just join us. And yeah, we are very glad you are with us. God bless you. Huh? And Katie, see, yes, I know her. I was shaking the Kevin's hand, then the wife's hand. Then I skip Phoebe. I say, hello, Katie. And then Phoebe look at me. I say, I know. It's all planned. Welcome. You're from the States. You're also teaching at Kazakhstan with Phoebe. Okay. God bless you. I'll hand the time now to... Hey, sorry. Oh, yeah. It's Mason. You're busy taping. I thought you multitask very well.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, good afternoon, church. Okay, let's go through with the announcements for today. Oh, okay. Okay, financial giving, we all know the two principles and three patterns. So can I invite the ushers to come down first? May I invite Brother William to pray for us?
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Truly, Lord, Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful morning, Lord, Father, to acknowledge, Lord, Father, the very birth of our Savior, Lord, who came, Lord, Father, unselfishly, Lord, giving unto himself to us, Lord, connecting us, Lord, Father, heaven and earth, Lord, that indeed, Lord, the grace, Lord, Father, is so marvelous, Lord, that you are the Emmanuel, God is with us. Even as we, Lord, go about in our offering, Lord, let not the world, Lord, be holding us, Lord, Father, or what we want to give, Lord, that we surrender ourselves unto you, Lord. That what even a wise man, Lord, they come before our Savior, Lord, giving gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which is deserving for a king, Lord. May it be, Lord, Father, for us, Lord. Give, Lord, unto you, Lord, the very heart, Lord, that you desire, Lord. That may it be, Lord, Father, acceptable unto you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, Father, for this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For those who are on the Zoom service or those of you who are tech savvy, if you all want to do a bank transfer or a PayNow, the slide will be here for a short while.